Thank you for joining me today. I am joined by the Ballastieri family, who is going to be hosting live at the Vineyards this year. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Oh, we're glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Now, I just would like to know, John, what inspired you to start making wine?
I had an uncle that made wine, so we grew up making wine. We were in the cut flower business for quite some time, and then the cut flower business really got taken over by the South Americans, and we more or less naturally moved into wine. We make it very naturally. The main reason is we had to get out of the flower business, so we needed something to do. And we were all involved, so we started into the wine.
It's interesting to me because last year was the first year that I went to Live at the Vineyards, and I was like, there was a vineyard in Commerce City, and then I go in and I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing, just even because there was a restaurant there and there was just things going on and activity and stuff. Is this what you saw when you started this business?
Well, that area where we are, we're not really in Commerce City either. We're unincorporated Adams where we're at. That area where we are in the 50s was all truck farms. And from the truck farms, then we ended up into the greenhouse business. And then from that, we ended up in the winery.
How did it work out that this would become a family operation?
Well, in the greenhouse business, it was my wife and all three of my kids grew up with the business. And my two sons became college professors. And Julie stuck with us. So it just naturally evolved that way.
Julie, so I just need to ask you, so you basically were the inheritor, quote unquote, of the family business?
Kind of the inheritor, yeah. After they started to get out of the cut flower business, we decided to make wine, and it's turned out to be an awesome thing. So we make wine very traditionally, the way my father's always made the homemade wines.
So we've got second generation, so Julie, and then Ray, you're third generation. How did you get roped into this?
Yeah, I don't know. When I was kind of coming out of high school, got a little bit more serious with wine, and as mom says, we're kind of winos and stuff. So we would taste a lot after dinner, after work, and things like that. I was in the tasting room a little bit, and then out of college, kind of did the opposite of what I was studying. I went and worked with a distributor and learned a lot there. Got to try many different wines and learn about different styles, but always focused on kind of styles that were similar to ours. You know, we do things, again, very naturally. It's really unmanipulated wine. We make wine, well, the same way Grandpa's always done it. So we're not adding any yeast. It's all indigenous yeast fermentation. We're not trying to alter the wines in any way. We really want them to kind of just express that particular vintage. And so our whole process of winemaking is a little bit more holistic, I guess, is a good way to put it. But then no sulfites. We found ways to kind of try to just do things the old-fashioned way. Crush grapes, press the juice, that's it. Don't filter them, no fining agents. And that's, again, it's just really rare. A lot of people just see kind of bulk wine on the shelves, and those are good in many areas. They definitely serve purposes, but kind of our purpose is to really showcase this more traditional way of making wine. So.
Yeah, completely natural.
So is that like a family philosophy?
We always, when we made the old homemades, they were very natural, and we've stuck with it. And it's a lot easier on your body without anything added to the wines. It's what we like, and we really make what we like. So it's a real definitive way of making wine that we ended up in this very natural way of making wine. And the natural way of making wine has gotten to be much more accepted and prevalent today. So people move away from so much manipulation, and they move away from having so much sulfites, and they try to do things more naturally. And it across not only wine, but everything. But we've certainly done it with the wine.
You have the wine, but then you also serve food at the Vineyard, and you're going to be one of the gourmet feasts that the guests can enjoy this year. So does that same philosophy basically pass down to the food as well?
Yeah, it definitely is. We try to source locally, and our kitchen is all made, everything we make is from scratch. We have two executive chefs at our place. We're very lucky to have them. They will knock your socks off with all of their dishes. You can come by our place anytime for lunch. We're open from 11 in the morning till 5 in the evening. So lunch and small plates. You could stop in, do a wine tasting. Fun atmosphere for all of that kind of stuff.
You said wine tasting. So you have a tasting room and even an event facility. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We do. Yes. We have an event center. We do weddings, corporate events, parties, birthday parties, bridal showers, anything from a few people to quite large events. So it's really nice to have that event center space. And then in the tasting room is awesome. You can come in on any given day. You can come in, taste 15 to 18 different wines. We love that you can taste the wines before you would like to purchase them, or relax on our patio and have a glass of wine. Really fun.
You all make your wines at the facility. Why is that important?
Well, we have to make the wines where we're at. So we make it right there. We get 98% of our grapes from the western slope of Colorado. So Palisade, Grand Junction area is where the majority of our grapes come from. We bring them in on refrigerated truck, and then we crush right there at the winery. And that's really important to us, to get the grapes quickly. And then we crush that same day that truck arrives. And then all of our facility is right there. And when you come to our place, you are coming to a working winery. So it's just an awesome thing to taste the wine that was just made downstairs, or it's aging downstairs in our barrels. We have over 350 different barrels of wine at any given time. It's a fun place to visit. So.
Yeah, we want to know where it comes from, you know, too. So we don't buy like juice or pre-made wine or anything like that, which is kind of important. It goes back to that whole style too. You know, they're fermenting off their indigenous yeast, which is one of the most crucial things of how we make wine. It really expresses kind of that vintage, but also, you know, you pick up different yeast strains depending on where you're making the wine as well. So we do have kind of an expression of our own cellar and the area that we make the
wines. Our cellar has its own terroir. The grapes also come from a specific place on the western slope.
Yeah, everything we do is single vineyard, which is kind of important to us. So we're trying to express different places that the grapes come from, kind of to a more specific level. You do notice a difference. We'll make like 5 different Syrahs over the course of a year, and all 5 of those will taste very different from one another.
So a terroir, am I saying that right?
Yeah, terroir just means a place. You know, the grape is expressing where it is grown, so the soil, the altitude, the water, the sunlight it's receiving, those are kind of why the wines have the flavors. Again, we're not manipulating them, we're not doing any flavoring or acidifying of the wines, so the flavors and the profiles you see off of them are a result of where they come from, as well as some of the decision making in the cellar.
How'd you learn how to make wine?
I had an uncle that always made orange muscat, and he made a barrel of wine every year. So when we were kids, we would help him crush and watch what went on and watch the fermentation, and everything was done very naturally. And that was a white, and it was white that was made on the skins like red wines, and we still make whites that way. It was a very natural way of making things, and we've just stuck with that.
I don't think of Denver when I think of vineyards. I think Italy, I think up Northern California. I've never thought of Denver, but then it's here, and so are a lot of people surprised that, oh my gosh, there's a vineyard?
We have our winery right there on at 1946 East 66th Avenue in Denver there, but we do have a tiny little vineyard on the corner of Washington and 66th Avenue. My dad planted Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot there in 1996, and then we started the winery in 1998, so a small vineyard there. Here in Denver, the climate is really difficult to grow grapes. It's a very big challenge to grow vinifera varietals, which are the Cabs and the Merlots. But it's been kind of fun just to have our own little vineyard right here, you know, just down the street from the winery. So we do produce a Denver Cab and a Denver Merlot. Sometimes I nickname it down the street wine because it's our own little vineyard. But we only get grapes from that vineyard maybe every 3 or 4 years. And that's because here in Denver, it's such a challenge that we get dry freeze in the winter months. And so we won't always get a crop. They'll be green and beautiful, but we won't always get a crop of grapes. So that's why we have to source from the western slope. So the climate on the western slope is a lot more conducive to those vinifera varietals. And they do really well up there. Grand Junction, Palisade area, they're always a bit warmer than we are here in Denver. And they don't quite get as much of extreme weather.
And then you said the word little. So I have a question. But somebody told me there was something called Little Feet for the children.
Oh, yeah. We make a little Feet Merlot.
Okay,
yep,
so
really
what is that?
That's really a fun wine. So Little Feet Merlot, we do 3 children's grape stompings a year. We do one out at Festival Italiano in Bel Mar. And then we do one at our annual harvest party, which is a really fun event. After the live at the vineyard, you got to come to the harvest party because that's really fun. And we do a children's grape stomping there. And then we also do a children's grape stomping down at Tagawa Garden Center in Parker, Colorado. And what's great about Little Feet Merlot is the kids actually get to stomp those grapes. Parents and grandparents can pre-purchase that wine. They have to wait an entire year before the wine is ready. But when they pre-purchase the wine, we do give about $5 a bottle, goes back to Children's Hospital. So it's a great thing with the community. community. It's a complimentary event. There's no charge for the kids to stomp the grapes. And
I'm sure they're having a blast. And, oh, I get to be messy and no one says anything.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, some kids just love it. They don't want to get out. And some kids look at it and say, oh, I don't think I want to do that. But it's really great fun. I'm not sure who has more fun, the kids or the parents and the grandparents watching them. So they really have a blast doing it.
Julie, you were mentioning Live at the Vineyards. So tell us about when you realized that Kuvo's Live at the Vineyards was an important event at Valish Drury.
Oh, it was important from the first year we did it. I mean, we had a blast. It was really fun to do Live at the Vineyard. It's really important to us to support Kuvo and support, you know, local artists, because I know that Kuvo does that. And it's really important to us to support local artists. We're definitely glad to support Kuvo, and it's always been a fabulous event. We really have a blast.
This is going to be the 13th year for the Live at the Vineyards. How did the concept of Live at the Vineyards happen?
It was a very small event in the beginning. I think we had Hazel Miller out there for our first one. And then they started bringing national artists. But Tina Cartagena, she really, you know, helped us out getting going to get it started. It just seemed like a good fit. Some awesome jazz, some wine, great food. We started bringing in more and more restaurants. It's so much fun. I mean, it truly is like a party.
So Ray, for you, who's been your favorite performance so far?
Well, last year, Bobby Watson was a lot of fun. Just a lot of energy. Just kind of depends. Each year you get kind of a different energy. And last year was like really up, and it was a lot of fun.
How has Kuvo's Live at the Vineyards event been for Valish Drury?
Oh, it's been awesome. I mean, it's really a great thing. We'll have customers come in, oh, the first time we were here was at the Kuvo event. And then a lot of times people will say, oh, don't you guys do a jazz concert out there? And I said, oh, yeah, that's with the Kuvo.
Yeah, it's a really memorable event. People really remember it all the time. And we have a lot of wine club members that go there also, but obviously lots of kind of new people go there. And it's, it's great. A lot of talk about it.
John, Ray just mentioned the wine club. What is that?
We do have a wine club. So you can sign up for one bottle a month or two bottles a month. If you're in the wine club, you get a little bit of discount. You do get discounts if you buy by volume, of course. But in the wine club, you always get a good discount, because then they'll buy everything just to, you know, with some discounts.
Okay, now I do have a question then, because you've said wine of the month. What makes it become the wine of the month? Is it the bouquet, the smell, the grape?
It's kind of all of us over the kitchen table deciding what wine we want to show off. Yeah, we just kind of, there's a lot of wines that we'll give to members that are kind of really exclusive for them. So that occasionally happens. You know, again, we do everything really small, kind of single batch, single barrel. So there's some wines we make where it's only three barrels, and those are sometimes exclusive to members only. It's everything from Cab, Sangiovese, Syrah, so we always rotate those in and out. So members get a huge breadth of wines.
Okay, and then you all have a wine cellar, is that correct? Okay, what goes on in the wine, in the cellar? Because, you know, people say, don't go into the cellar. What's down in the cellar? What is in there?
The cellar is an awesome place to be. I could let my dad expand on that, but the cellar is great because that's where we have all of our barrels aging. And
the building's over 7,000 square feet, close to 8,000 square feet. The wine cellar is the space of the entire building, and that's really the reason for the building. And then the event center and everything else ended up on top of the wine cellar.
That's
but
the
real
reason
purpose,
we have a ballroom is because we needed something to put on top of that cellar.
Basement underneath.
So basically you started from the ground up,
so
to speak.
Right.
Okay. What is the Valish Drury story? You've started this, John, and then now your daughter is following in your footsteps, but now third generation, because we have Ray. So each of you have seen this from a different perspective.
Well, the making wine, as I said before, we moved into it pretty naturally from the cut flower business and then into the wines, and make them very naturally. And then my daughter Julie has been with us right from the beginning of the winery, so of course she moved right in along with everything else that went on. I'm the official winemaker, but Julie runs most of the other, the event facility and all the food and all that kind of stuff. We kind of have our own areas that we take care of. And it's not that we set out to do that exact thing, but it evolved that way. And it's worked well for us. So I do my part, and Julie does a lot of the same things I do, including helping with the wine, and Ray helps with the wine, of course, now too. And then, but Julie on the business side does a lot more than I do.
I'm the winemaker's daughter.
Okay.
That's my official title. So my dad is awesome. He's always, you know, stuck to making the wines the way he's always made the homemade wines, which is really awesome. I'm so proud of him, the way he makes his wines. He does all the winemaking, and he's awesome at pouring wines. In fact, you'll get a group of gals coming in, and they just love it if they get the winemaker pouring for him in the tasting room. Somebody's got to talk to the growers and talk to the wine lab and all of that kind of stuff. And so a lot of those things fall on me to make sure everything is organized. And so there's a lot with the event center, our full kitchen. Our kitchen can crank out meals for just a few folks. They'll do some fancy dinners. We just got done doing our barrel tasting dinners down in the cellar. My dad and Ray pulled wine straight from the barrel, and it was paired with 6 courses.
Wow.
So really just, you know, awesome dinner with, you know, wine pairings. And they'll do small intimate things like that, and then they can also crank out food for 1,000 guests. So really fun. We're really excited to do a booth at the Live at the Vineyard, because we always do a booth. In fact, the first year they started doing the competition, our chef won the first place.
Wow.
People's Choice Award.
And that's huge.
So it kind of makes them feel good. It was awesome. And I said, oh gosh, we're here at the Vineyard, and there's so many awesome restaurants here. And so they did a great job. So the restaurants and everything are just top notch. I mean, there's so many delicious bites. I can't even go around to all of them.
So for you, Ray, how was it for you?
Yeah, I think the Balistrieri story is a really kind of just special and unique one. And I think it's kind of rooted in this expression that we just really love to share with people. We like to share these kind of unique ideas. It's kind of a bizarre evolution where I kind of got the back end of it, but moving out of farming and then going into cut flowers, and then we're in this unique old Italian farming community, and it was always just kind of tradition. Everybody around there would make some homemade wine, and back in the day, Grandpa always loved to share that, and it's kind of moved into this expression where we really want to just kind of showcase to people a little bit of this heritage, a little bit of this tradition, and it's something that we just truly love. That's kind of, like, I fell in love with it again, kind of coming out of high school and always growing up around it, and I think it's just a little bit deeper nowadays. It's a really unique, special spot, and we love showing it off to people, and I think we get really good reactions from it as well. It's kind of giving them a piece into our life. Grandpa cooks Sunday dinner every Sunday, and there's always talk about wine.
Of drinking of wine.
Yeah, a lot of drinking of wine.
Within reason.
Yeah, putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I think it's great because you guys have won some awards for your wine. Is that correct?
Yeah, some competitions.
What kinds of awards have you all won?
So at the latest competition, Eastern competition, we picked up 3 gold medals, I think 5 silvers, and a couple of bronzes. So the wines did very well. And we like to stay with some of the international competitions because that always assures the customer that what we're doing, although we're doing it very natural, fits exactly what the wine should be. And the customer can be assured of that because of the international competition.